Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 12, Number 5. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I included an excerpt from my latest book, Sports Nutrition for Masters Athletes. It's book 9 in the Corey Hawley series and will be available in both audio and PDF ebook format. Sports Nutrition for Masters Athletes is dedicated to men and women throughout the world 40 years of age and over who love sport, exercise, and physical conditioning. This book examines the specific nutritional requirements required by master's athletes and teaches a science-based strategy that helps protect the body from oxidative damage, inflammation, and various sports injuries. Sports Nutrition for Master's Athletes will inspire all those who qualify as master's athletes to participate in sport and exercise with passion and a strong commitment to the pursuit of mental and physical excellence. It's extremely important to have continuous access to knowledge on topics such as philosophy, physics, physiology, biology, biochemistry, sports nutrition, and natural health, especially in audio format. I certainly read books and articles on my Kindle Reader, but I personally find audiobooks more practical and less time-consuming, as I can listen to them almost anywhere and anytime, including during a walk, run, or hike, while driving or using public transport, and of course, working out in the gym. I mean, this is what emojication is all about. To emojicate your mind means to elevate the sensory portion of your brain by listening to your favorite music with an MP3 player during exercise or any physical activity, and this enables you to absorb, utilize, and retain selected educational tutorials, interviews, and health-related data in audio format. In addition to the audiobooks we distribute through CHI, I strongly recommend subscribing to Audible.com, as this subsidiary of Amazon.com currently provides over 100,000 book titles in audio MP3 format on a wide variety of excellent topics. For example, I just finished listening to The Science of Fear by journalist Daniel Gardner. This book is an introduction to the new brain science of risk, dissecting the fears that misguide and manipulate us every day. Currently, I'm listening to Steven Pinker's How the Mind Works. Pinker is an experimental psychologist, cognitive scientist, linguist, and popular science author. His insight into the mind, as Commander Spock would say, is fascinating. I find that by listening to a wide variety of eclectic, evidence-rich audio presentations, that over the course of time, I'm able to comprehend and understand complex theorems and principles that might otherwise remain obscure or incomprehensible to me. I always discover an important insight or concept from every book I listen to or read, and over time, layer by layer, it all starts to make more and more sense. One author or narrator might say something that I can't quite digest or understand, but then someone else will translate the same message in a different way, in a different context, or from a different point of view, and then I'll get it. It all seems to fold in on itself and ultimately sustain me with more cognitive power and mental confidence. The more I learn, and the better I get at learning, the more I want to learn, and the more I want to learn, the more I realize that learning has no built-in speed limit or ceiling. At the end of the day, it's all about self-confidence and my own desire to excel and grow. On this edition of Clinical Review, I will continue with our PSN series. The next in line is Principles of Sports Nutrition number 16, Biological Age. Our lifestyle plays an enormous role in how we age, but not chronologically speaking. The difference between chronological age and biological age is not well understood, at least among the general population. But it needs to be, because most of us don't use function or quality of life as a primary index of life itself. Instead of asking how old someone is, we should be asking how well they are. Most of us tend to think of life exclusively in terms of age or length of time, such as lifespan or life expectancy. But the newer and more appropriate functional concept of health span is a much better standard. Health span is a measure of how well we are. The health span of most North American adults today is 37. After that, there is typically a marked decline in health and a definite loss of biological function and independence. Lifespan is a measure of how long our species can live potentially if all the known variables favor the maximum period. In most cases, they don't. For humans, our predicted maximum lifespan age is 120 years, as there is recorded evidence of humans living that long. According to Wikipedia, the oldest known person alive today is a former Japanese postman who is 116. He was born on April 19, 1897. Life expectancy, as opposed to lifespan, is the expected number of years of life remaining at a given age. Life expectancy is an average number. In many cultures, the combination of high infant mortality and deaths in young adulthood from accidents, epidemics, plagues, wars, AIDS, and childbirth significantly lowers the overall life expectancy. For example, human life expectancy in Swaziland is 49.42. In Japan, it's 82.6. Japan leads the world in life expectancy. The Central African Republic has the lowest life expectancy known at 45.91. Canada ranks 11th at 80.5, and the U.S. ranks 40th at 77.97. The world average human life expectancy is 67.5 for males and 73.3 for females. During the Neolithic or Stone Age period, which began around 10,000 years B.C. and ended between 4,500 and 2,000 B.C., the average life expectancy was about 20 years of age. Chronological age is the length of time you've actually been alive since birth, as in the number of minutes, days, months, and years. Our birthday represents the anniversary of our birth, not the actual time we've been alive, as in from the moment of our conception. If that were true, we could all add an extra 30 to 40 weeks to our age, depending upon how much time we spent in the womb. Biological age, also known as bio age or vital age, has to do with our current state of health and biological function. Biological age is an objective and comparative assessment of how well we are aging. Time is the fire in which we burn. So bio age measures what effect that fire has had and is having on our mind and body. In essence, bio age measures the presence or absence of damage, whereas chronological age is simply a measure of the passage of time. If you tell me you're 40 years of age, I know next to nothing about your state of health. I can take a guess and assume that some damage is present, but to what extent or degree? By now, we all know that how a human lives and the choices they make determines their outcome and state more than just their genetics. Fate is what we make, or as John Connor states in Terminator 2, the future's not set. There's no fate, but what we make for ourselves. At age 40, a person could be incredibly fit or fat. They could be loaded with cancer and bedridden, or completely free of any known impairment and capable of running a 10K in less than 30 minutes. The world record of 26:17:53, by the way, is held by a 31-year-old Ethiopian male and was set in Belgium on August 26, 2005. According to Evans and Rosenberg, the single most important determinant of biological age is muscle mass, followed by strength, basal metabolic rate, and percentage of body fat. In their book, Biomarkers, they list 10 biomarkers of vitality or functional biological age that can be measured. Number one, muscle mass. Number two, strength. Number three, basal metabolic rate. Number four, body fat percentage. Number five, aerobic capacity. Number six, blood sugar tolerance. Number seven, cholesterol and HDL ratio. Number eight, blood pressure. Number nine, bone density. And number 10, the body's ability to regulate its own temperature. What's clear is that it's simply not possible to accurately determine your biological age without a complete fitness assessment. You have to objectively measure how well a person is able to perform, not just accept what they say about how they think they can perform. If you fill out an online survey on BioAge and it's based on a lifestyle assessment without including any evidence obtained from blood work or a fitness assessment, it won't be very accurate. This is why everyone should have a fitness assessment, as the evidence of reality itself, as opposed to our perception of reality, which is typically biased or exaggerated, is crucial. This is also why every CSNA graduate must submit a personal fitness assessment, whether they want to or not. It's the evidence of the outcome that I want students to focus on. Evidence is what supports any assertion, and without any evidence, the case is at most not very strong. If you have a position and you have no evidence to substantiate your position, it's possible that you are absolutely wrong. And evidence is what sustains your position. It's what proves it out. Scientific evidence in particular consists of observations and experimental results that serve to support, refute, or modify a scientific hypothesis or theory. If you think you're well, there should be evidence to support your statement, and it's based on performance, on blood chemistry assessment, on urine analysis, and a whole variety of biomarkers like how elastic your skin is or how good your vision is. It's a functional assessment, not just how you feel subjectively, but actually what state you're in as objectively measured through scientific investigation. As I have always said, where there is health, there should be evidence of health. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from our old friend Plato, Greek philosopher, mathematician, and student of Socrates. He who is of a calm and happy nature will hardly feel the pressure of age. But to him who is of an opposite disposition, youth and age are equally a burden.